From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco and KQEI in Sacramento, I'm Dave Iverson. Does Governor Schwarzenegger's much-trumpeted post-partisan era have a chance of ever becoming real? When it comes to how gridlock government often functions, it hardly seems like a likely option. Yet, post-partisan may indeed describe trends in the electorate itself. Independent voter registration is on the rise in California. Indeed, if current registration trends hold, there will be more independent voters than Democrats or Republicans in less than 20 years. We'll take a close look at the evolving California electorate and what it suggests about the future next on Forum after this. From KQED in San Francisco and KQEI in Sacramento, I'm Dave Iverson. Welcome to Forum. It may not have been a quote heard round the world, but it was at least heard around the rotunda. I believe that we have the opportunity to move past partisanship, said Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger at his inaugural a year ago, and into an era of post-partisanship. In our time, especially during an election year, post-partisan politics almost sounds like an oxymoron. After all, it seems like we have nothing but partisan gridlock in Washington and often in Sacramento. But a new study by the Public Policy Institute of California suggests that while our governmental institutions may be a ways from post-partisanship, the electorate itself is moving in that direction. Decline to state or independent registration is on the rise in California. And while our state is viewed as predictably blue, 43% of California voters are registered as Democrats right now, 34% Republicans, and 20% independents, times are changing. The intriguing finding in the study is that Democrats and Republicans now make up less of the electoral pie than they once did. Major party registration seems to be dropping, while independent registration is on the rise. Independents now account for nearly twice as much of the California vote as they did 20 years ago. And if these current trends continue, then there will actually be more independents than either Democrats or Republicans in another 20 years or so. So this morning on Forum, we want to take a look at the changing California electorate. How might those trends impact state politics and state government in the future? How differently Democrats, Republicans, and independents see the world around them, and how all of this might impact the California presidential primary, which is now, of course, just 18 days away. Joining us to talk about that, Mark Baldessari, who's president of the Public Policy Institute of California. He joins us this morning from San Francisco. Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
Here, too, is Art Torres, former Democratic state senator and chair of the California State Democratic Party. Art Torres, good morning.
Good morning.
Joining us by phone from Palo Alto is the former Republican Party chair of the state of California, Duff Sundheim. Mr. Sundheim, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Happy to have you join us. And in our Sacramento studio, Dan Weitrop, political columnist for the Sacramento Bee. Dan, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks all very much for being here. It's an intriguing study, Mark Baldessari. And why don't you start us out by giving us a little bit a sense of the way in which things have changed? Because as you look at your study, it really does seem to be that independents are on the rise.
That's right. Independents are on the rise and major party membership has been on the decline. If you take a look at what the electorate looked like right before the 2000 presidential election, we had about 15.5 million registered voters with altogether 12.6 million Democrats and Republicans and 2.3 million declined to state. If you look at the most recent statistics from the Secretary of State's office, that were released last month, we have 11.8 million Democrats and Republicans, 800,000 fewer than we had at the time of the 2000 presidential election, while we have 3 million declined to state voters, which is 700,000 more declined to state voters than we had 7 years ago. So the electorate is clearly changing. Democratic and Republican registration, we had noticed for, as you mentioned, the last two decades has been declining as a share of the electorate. But what is remarkable is that if we look at the last few years, it's actually in numerical decline as well. So independent voters or declined to state or unaffiliated voters, however you want to describe them, tend to be the younger voters, tend to be the new voters in the electorate. And it's a very fast-growing trend, which has important implications both for our legislative or representative democracy and our direct democracy in California.
Let's begin to dig into what some of those implications may be, starting with the age question in part, because it is interesting when you look at those demographics, and Arturis and Duff Sundheim, let's hear from each of you on this, that Democrats and for Democrats and Republicans both, it was around 43% of Democrats, those registered as Democrats and Republicans, are over the age of 54, whereas that's only true for about 30% of independents. So it sounds like the parties are a creature of age. When you see those figures, Arturis first, what concerns you, I guess, about what that might portend for the future?
Well, I saw some of these numbers emerging back in 2000 when I opened our presidential primary to decline to state voters to give them an opportunity to participate in our primary. And we found that when they were invited to do so, they stuck with us in the general election, many of them being disaffected Democrats or other parties, but mostly Democrats who had left the party from our stance to become independent voters or decline to state voters. We also found that, especially here in San Francisco and Los Angeles, San Francisco, the Chinese community, and in Los Angeles, the Asian and Pacific Island community in a greater expanse, always chose to be declined to state because they didn't want to be bothered by either party, yet provided an opportunity for us as Democrats to reach out to those communities. As for the young people, I think they've been getting a bad rap, and I think Iowa basically showed that the increase in participation by young people in the caucuses and clearly in New Hampshire boded well for both political parties. And so, therefore, I established a rule for our delegation, of which there are 441 delegates to Denver, that at a minimum 10% must be 18 to 35, so that we make a commitment, both public and private, to the young voter out there that this party wants to include them in the process and wants to include them within our leadership.
And Duff Sundheim, what about that sort of affirmative action on your side of the aisle in terms of trying to attract more young voters to your party?
Well, I think it's very important and obviously essential to the future since the young people are only going to grow in size and importance, but it reflects the bigger societal changes that we're undergoing. It used to be everybody read the newspaper, there were three TV stations, and now the people that are voting today, that are starting to vote for the first time today, have had a wide variety of options. So they don't identify with any particular TV station or whatever because they have so many options. And similarly, they're less likely to identify with any party. So the challenge is that each person running for office has to sell themselves to that individual. And I think as a Republican, I think that's a great opportunity for us. And if we have strong candidates that are able to reach out to those voters, we're going to be successful. And that's what Arnold Schwarzenegger did in 2003 and 2006 and why he's been so successful in California.
In my time, Arnold Schwarzenegger is the one sort of exception to the general rule that Arturis was describing in terms of independents affiliating themselves at least somewhat more with Democrats, at least in the 2004 presidential election and in the last two U.S. Senate elections in the state of California. How do you see this going? What, as you look at the sort of political tea leaves here in Sacramento, do you see this trend as being something that political parties are going to really have to pay attention to?
Oh, sure. I think this is just the beginning of what's going to be a seismic shift in our politics, not only in California, but across the nation. I think it's a reflection of the information age, in part, following up on something that Duff said. You know, major department stores are breaking up. The post office now has to compete with FedEx and UPS. Network news isn't what it used to be. And my business, newspapers, is falling apart fast. What's happening is that people have access to more information, more choices. They have more control over their own lives and their own decisions. And they don't want to listen to big institutions, whether it's labor unions or employers or political parties, tell them what to do. So I think it's only going to intensify.
One of the other things that's fascinating about your study, Mark Baldessari, is the way in which these groups that we're talking about this morning, Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, all see the world. And while this trend toward independence would suggest that times are really changing, the counterpoint to that, that your report suggests, is that Democrats and Republicans see the world really differently and are pretty hardened in their views. So describe some of that. If you take an issue, for example, like the role of taxation and the kind of government services you want, Democrats and Republicans see that issue completely differently. So while this independent trend that everyone's describing may be taking place, it's running counter to very hard and fast beliefs among the existing parties.
In fact, it's probably the case that these hardened views of party voters and the party faithful are accelerating the trends for decline to state voters to remain unaffiliated. But in our study, we looked at thousands of interviews that we've conducted over the last year, really exploring the idea about whether there was indeed evidence of common ground between Democratic and Republican voters. And on a wide range of issues, the voters reflect the kind of divisions that we see in the legislature, with Democrats, for instance, favoring universal health coverage, same-sex marriage, having strong beliefs about regulations for global warming, Republicans reflecting equally strong beliefs, opposing gay marriage, different views on immigration, opposing changes in health coverage. And so on policy issues, as well as general ideology, with most Democrats describing themselves as liberals, most Republicans describing themselves as conservatives, these are very two different political spaces which Democrats and Republicans in California have. And we thought it was important to point this out, not only for our statewide audience, but as national commentators come through California and take a look at our Democratic and Republican primaries and try to understand why in this blue state there is such a different conversation taking place in these two primaries.
Go ahead. Is that Duff Sundheim? Go ahead.
Could I just finish one point, which is something which I think Dan Weintraub has written about as well, and that's not to say that we can't find Democrats who hold views that Republicans do on fiscal issues or Republicans that hold views that Democrats do on environmental issues. We do. And through the initiative process, and occasionally through elections of state officials, you do find, a majority of Democrats and Republicans that are holding common views, because, the parties aren't monolithic in terms of public policy issues. And that's led to the success of Arnold Schwarzenegger, at the same time that some Democrats and some independents will support Arnold Schwarzenegger. They will find things that they believe represent their views in terms of Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer.
Duff Sundheim, you wanted to jump in.
Well, just to make the point, and it follows up a little bit on what Mark is saying, but from a little different perspective, and that is, issues matter, but what matters more is that people want to have confidence in their elected officials, that they're trying to do what they think is in the best interest of the people of California, and they're willing to transcend any one particular issue. That's why, we've had some well-documented disagreements within the Republican Party regarding specific positions Governor Schwarzenegger has taken. Yet his approval rating among Republicans is extremely high, and 91% of them voted for him in the election. So I think if we're trying to send a message, not only here in California, but to our national leaders, it's that, look at the focus groups, look at the polling, look at where they are. But what's more important is they want to know that that elected official is doing things that he or she thinks is in the best interest of all the people. And if you do that, you'll be successful.
Dan Weintraub, what will be the time lag? How great would it be before some of this drift towards more independent thinking among voters begins to have an impact on what happens across the street at the state capitol.
Well, unfortunately, I think it's going to be quite long. Of course, it's already having an effect through Schwarzenegger, but if you're talking about the legislature, that's another story. First of all, it's just nature of the two-party system. When you have party primaries, if the conservative Republicans control their primaries and the liberal Democrats control their primaries, which tends to be the case, you're going to get the more extreme, if you will, members from each party in the legislature. On top of that, California famously or infamously has a plan of drawing districts where the legislature draws their own districts, they pick their own voters, and the result is a gerrymander which only intensifies that partisanship. So it's going to be very difficult to dislodge it from the legislature without a fundamental change in the way we elect our representatives.
So even if the slice of the pie that independents represent gets larger and larger, even to the point where it may someday even be larger than Democrats and Republicans, we would still have structurally a system, Dan Weintraub, where we would be locked with the same kind of partisan gridlock?
Potentially. As Art mentioned, the parties are now allowing independents to vote in their primaries, the Republicans not in the presidential primary, but in all their other primaries. So if independent voters want to go to the polls and inject themselves into one party or the other's decisions, they have the ability to do that. But the structure is not terribly inviting, and independents historically aren't prone to doing that. Something like an open primary or a blanket primary where everybody's just welcome to come on in and vote for whoever they want, regardless of what party or either party they belong to, would be a more effective way to accomplish that.
Which raises the question, Arturis, of what parties actually want. I mean, do you want to see it opened up? Do you want to see less partisanship? Or is it by definition the interest of your party to maintain a sort of point of view that is nothing but partisan?
Well, number one, as Dan pointed out, it is difficult for independents because polling workers are ignorant many times of what the rules are. They don't know that they can give an independent a Democratic primary ballot or a Republican primary ballot. And that certainly played out in 2000 when we had a blanket primary, in which case every voter receives a ballot. 9.6% of independent voters voted in the Democratic primary, and only 6.2% when they actually had to ask for a ballot or polling workers knew that they could get a ballot, only 6.2% turned out in our Democratic primary. So we need to do more work with our polling workers. We need to do more work with education. What Arnold started in terms of a post-partisanship was also the kind of relationship that I felt I had with Duff Sundheim. Here is a leader of the Republican Party who reached out to me and I to him in probably the most effective bipartisan partnership on issues that weren't necessarily political, in some cases supporting our troops, in other cases nonprofit issues, where we sought common ground. The same thing is happening here in California as we begin to see the outreach by presidential candidates. Hillary Rodham Clinton's career in the U.S. Senate has always been to reach across the aisle, to work things out with the Republicans. Barack Obama, his vision is certainly about change, but also about a post-partisanship. So I think that what we see ahead is definitely an era where both political parties realize that they can no longer be bickering about partisanship, because the voter is going to start bickering at them and get them out of office or elect people that are going to work together rather than work against each other. Sometimes the forces of nature, like the economy, is forcing Democrats and Republicans in the Congress and the president to reach out to find solutions. Sometimes that's the natural occurrence of things. The other issue is reapportionment, and I think Dan alluded to that. Both Duff and I supported a reapportionment reform. We thought the legislature was going to come up with it, and I was, for one, very disappointed that we did not have an alternative on the ballot dealing with a reapportionment issue, because that's how you're going to show confidence in the voters that these districts are fair, they're proportionate, and they represent the lot of the folks. And what Duff said about Arnold is very true. And that's also true in many cases within the Democratic Party, where sometimes left-leaning Democrats or progressive Democrats don't support somebody like a Dianne Feinstein because of her moderate views. Yet you had in the Assembly a moderate caucus emerge. Now you have a progressive caucus in the House of Representatives. So various alternatives and viewpoints are now being expressed vocally. And I think if we can do that, then we can understand why California elects a Dianne Feinstein and a Barbara Boxer at the same time to the United States Senate, because they are divergent views of the Democratic Party and, quite frankly, the electorate of California.
But in the legislature itself, Duff Sundheim, is there appetite to change districts so that the legislature itself doesn't control them, so that the party primaries become less about who can appeal to their base the most? I mean, there's some pretty fundamental structural things that would have to change before this drift to independence could be reflected. Is there really any appetite in your party, in the legislature, in either party in the legislature to change those things?
Oh, very much so. I think the Republicans are more than willing to affect this change. And what's interesting is that the Democrats, and to be honest with you, I think Fabian has an interest in doing this. I think he's been held back
Speaker
by
Fabian
the other
Nunez, yeah.
The Speaker. I think he has an interest in moving this forward, but I think his caucus has prevented that from happening. And the irony is that if in 2006 the Democrats had allowed for new districts to be in place, I think, frankly, they would have picked up seats in Congress and they would have picked up seats here in the California legislature. So Art and I are not looking at this from a purely partisan perspective. We're looking at it from a good government perspective. And I think the other area where Art and I agree that the parties have too much power is over the control of the funds, which came about through what's called Proposition 34, which put unrealistic limits on the amount of money that candidates can raise and unlimited amounts of money that can be raised by the state parties. So if you want to run in a competitive district in the state of California, you literally owe your job to the party. And that obviously is one of the other changes that both Art and I believe needs to be changed if we're going to have a less partisan legislative environment.
Dan Weintraub at the Sacramento Bee, Duff Sundheim was bringing up that Speaker Nunez actually has some interest in moving in this direction. This brings about, in part, the question of whether or not term limits will change so that Speaker Nunez might potentially be able to hold that job a little bit longer. Do you see it this way, that he actually, Speaker Nunez, has some interest in this, and that may be part of what's going on here with the term limits question as well, to keep leadership in Sacramento that could push in that direction?
Well, he says he has that interest. He hasn't really demonstrated it. He's toyed with the idea. At one time, he pledged to sort of link redistricting reform and term limits reform as a package that would go to the voters, which I think would have been a very effective reform package. But ultimately, he couldn't get agreement in his house with the Republicans, nor could they reach agreement with the Senate. It just all looked a little too convenient that everybody wanted to get this done, but somehow they just couldn't pull it together. I think ultimately the proof's going to be in the pudding. If he really wants to do it, he's powerful enough to get it on the ballot and get it done.
Dan Weintraub, Sacramento Bee, joining us this morning as we talk about the future of the California electorate and how it is beginning to change. Interesting study that came out this week by the Public Policy Institute of California that suggests that independents are on the rise, parties to some extent on the decline. And we're going to continue to explore over the course of our hour this morning what that might suggest about the way in which California politics will continue to evolve this year and next. And when we come back, we're also going to take up how all of this, the rise of the independent, might play some role in the upcoming California presidential primary, which is, of course, just 18 days away. If you would like to participate in our conversation, we're going to open up our phone lines now, and you can join us. Here's the number. It's 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Or you can email us at forum@kqed.org. That's forum@kqed.org. Back with more of our discussion about the changing shape of the California electorate in just a moment. This is Forum on KQED. I'm Dave Iverson. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. Our topic this hour, how the California electorate is changing with the rise of independents. If current voting registration patterns continue in 20 years or so, there will actually be more independent registered voters in the state of California than Republicans and Democrats. We're talking this hour about that with Mark Baldessari, who's president of the Public Policy Institute of California that just put together this report. Art Torres, chair of the State Democratic Party. Duff Sundheim, the past chair of the Republican Party in our state, and Dan Weintraub, political columnist for the Sacramento Bee. We welcome your participation as well. You can join us now at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786, or you can email us your thoughts and questions at forum@kqed.org. When I change and talk for a moment about how this trend may affect the California primary. But before I get to that, just one quick follow-up to you, Mark Baldessari. At the very end of your report, you talk about a variety of things that could be done that could reflect more the way in which the state is changing. And one of those is the idea of an open primary that mm-hmm. Dan Weintraub mentioned earlier. Describe briefly what that would be and how that might open up the political mm-hmm. process more to this change in direction that we're seeing.
Well, I think that Californians would be most familiar with the blanket ballot or the open ballot from the governor's recall in 2003. I mean, that was a very unusual ballot. It had 135 names on it, but it involved Democrats, multiple Republicans, people who were independents, gave people a wide range of choices.
So you had Cruz Bustamante and Arnold Schwarzenegger side by side.
That's right. And, of course, for the independent voter, that's an ideal situation. For the Democratic and Republican Party, that, of course, has been a problematic scenario if you think at the legislative level what that might mean. If you had a primary, blanket ballot primary in which, let's say, you end up having a Democrat running against a Democrat or a Republican running against a Republican instead of a Democrat running against Republican, if you're looking at the top two vote-getters as who is in the general election. But that's the basic idea behind the blanket primary. The Supreme Court had some things to say about the blanket primary that the voters approved in the mid-90s, and the major parties fought in court. And maybe our two guests here today could talk about what problems they had with it.
Just real briefly, and then I want to turn to the presidential race. But Arturis, is that day ever going to come?
I don't think so. I think that you're going to have a variation very similar to what we have now. But I think you eliminate a debate between different perspectives by just going with the two top Republican vote-getters or the two top Democratic vote-getters. I think we need to have more diversity in our debate. And quite frankly, I think you need a general election time period, whether you shorten that or keep it as it is, for a time of reflection so that people get to know the candidates. These instant runoffs don't always work well. Here in San Francisco, I've experienced it, and you don't have enough time to gauge the candidates. They have one shot at the election, and that's it. I think you need a little more depth and debate than that provides.
And if it's not to be an instant runoff or an open primary, Duff Sundheim, what would encourage more participation from independents?
Well, I think that you have to have policies that address concerns that affect their lives. You know, I think that too often people are running campaigns based upon what their donors want, or especially in our state, what Sacramento wants, and they're not focusing enough on what the needs are within their community. But that's been an age-old problem. Trend in voter participation until recently has been downward. But again, I think the use of modern technology, the fact that these younger voters are active, that they are go out there working for people like Obama, is a great sign. And we, as parties and our candidates, need to keep up with this new interest in the political process.
I can just see your quote, Duff Sundheim, appearing in an Obama commercial. Former state party chair says, great trend that young voters are supporting Barack Obama. Dan Weintraub, how do you see, with that presidential primary now just coming up 18 days away, this trend, this independent trend that we're talking about, play out? Because as you mentioned earlier, only the Democrats allow independents to vote in their primary. Republicans don't. One would think that that might have an impact on this upcoming primary. How do you see it?
Well, sure. In the primary so far, the independents have played a major role on both sides. I think Obama has been picking up a majority of them on the Democratic side, and certainly John McCain has won the New Hampshire primary on the strength of the independent vote. So we'd expect it to play out in the Democratic primary here, where they're going to be allowed to vote. And both the major candidates, Obama and Clinton, are trying to reach out to them. Clinton, ironically, is probably the more postpartisan of the two. She has a practice of reaching across party lines, not only as a senator, but also earlier as first lady working with her husband, Bill Clinton, on bipartisan policies. That's why the left wing of the Democratic Party has a lot of people who aren't very fond of her. But Obama seems to be capturing sort of the mood of post-partisanship better than Clinton. She has a partisan reputation because of the wars she's been through with Bill and everybody, whereas Obama, being a fresh face, can talk about hope, can talk about reaching out, and he's proving very popular with independents, and in the early polling is actually getting a lot more Republican support than Clinton would.
Interesting. Let's get our callers engaged in our conversation this morning. Joanne in Sonoma wants to chime in first on this topic. Joanne, go ahead, please.
Hello. I am a person who has spent a lot of time registering voters in the state of California, and I'm very concerned about your using the phrase independent. And the reason that I'm concerned in registering voters, people look at the registration form and say, I want to register for the American Independent Party.
Yeah.
And I think it's very important to continue to use decline to state, because independent, people are focusing on our voter pamphlet and they're saying, oh, there's an American Independent Party.
Yeah,
and
enough,
I would really
Joanne.
Appreciate yep. your panel making that distinction about decline to state and independent.
Joanne, thanks. Yeah, okay. we take your point, and it's an important one. We mentioned it in the introduction, but I know I have at least drifted to just the use of the word independent. And the point is, of course, that if you want to register as a non-party person in the upcoming election, the choice that you have is officially declined to state. We should mention, by the way, Joanne and others, that if you'd like to find out more about the registration process, you can go to our website, kqed.org/elections, and we can walk you through some of that information. And the deadline, by the way, is coming up. It's just less than a week away. The deadline, if you want to vote in the February 5th primary, is January the 22nd. So follow up on that if you're interested and still want to participate in that. Let's go to Frederick next, who joins us in Napa this morning. Frederick, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, gentlemen. I'm just headed back east to the Oakland International Airport, where I happened to spend 5 days canvassing in New Hampshire for John Edwards. And I am a progressive Democrat who feels that I would actually like to see the Democratic Party differentiate itself much more strongly as the party that favors good public expenditure versus privatization. And I feel this rise of independence speaks negatively to our political process because they really don't see, they can't grasp what our Democratic Party stands for. And I would go to the work of George Lakoff, who has written beautifully about the need for the Democratic Party to frame itself very clearly as to speak in any particular way as to who we stand for, rather
Frederick,
than
thank you.
The current
yeah.
situation. We end up as a party of personalities. We have the Barack Obama personality, the Hillary Clinton personality, the John Edwards personality. I don't feel that's good for democracy.
Yeah, Frederick, great point. Thanks for bringing it to it. Arturis, respond to that, because Frederick represents the other side of this question, which is sometimes people wanting the parties to be, Dan Weintraub talked about this a bit ago, that there's a desire to sort of be, on some people's part, the criticism of Hillary Clinton is that she wasn't democratic enough, the old Howard Dean line, I represent the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party. Respond to that desire on the part of people like Frederick who don't want the party to be in the middle. They want it to be harder on one side.
Well, I think it's more educating the public out there as to where the parties actually stand. And I said that in Sacramento yesterday, that we don't do a good enough job of educating voters as to the distinctions between the parties. And I agree with Frederick, and I appreciate his comments. And believe me, I've taken those comments from a number of people as well in the last few months, and I've taken them to heart. And we're working on it, and I'm very familiar with George's work in the area. But we also need to understand, when you take away the personalities or the charisma of each of the top three presidential candidates in California, there's not much difference on the issues. It may be in the details or the nuts and bolts of how you deliver health care. It may be the details as to who wants the troops pulled out faster than somebody else. But at the end of the day, when you look at Hillary and Barack and John Edwards, it's going to come down to a matter of personality and where who people feel most comfortable with to be the next president of the United States, because on the issues, they're pretty much the same.
And on the other side, yeah, Duff Sundheim, go ahead.
I'm sorry, we have kind of an opposite problem in our party is that
exactly. That's what I wanted to ask you. Yeah. Who is the real Republican among the group? Yeah.
Well, exactly. And we do allow for that diversity of opinion within our party. But yet we're perceived as by many as being, you know, very conservative on the social issues. But the two leading office holders in the state of California, Governor Schwarzenegger and Steve Poizner, the insurance commissioner, reflect the diversity of the party, as do other people that have been elected in our state. So I think our challenge is to let people know that we do not have litmus tests, that we are an inclusive party, where Art may be dealing with a little bit of a different issue, but we both have our challenges.
Joanne in Foster City is up next. Joanne, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for mentioning the January 22nd deadline for the presidential. You also need to realize that there's reasons to re-register to vote at this time, and that's if you've moved, change your name, had a change of name, address, or political party. This is the time to also change that political party, affiliation. And you also need to direct people, it's state law that we have public locations, and the league stocks in most counties league stocks the public locations, and in San Mateo County we have over 250 locations for the cards, and we're going to be expanding on the locations.
And that's the League of Women Voters you're referring to, Joanne?
Yes, the League of the city, our county clerk has the league. He pays the league to stock and maintain these public locations.
All right, Joanne, thank you. Thanks for the call and the reminder about that as well. Mark Baldessari, just one point on voter registration. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's a little, I suppose, discouraging in some ways for probably groups like the League of Women Voters is that registrations have actually declined a little bit, right? I mean, the only reason they haven't declined horribly is because of this rise in independence that we're talking about. But overall, the big picture is that people are actually registering less.
Not only are there fewer registered voters than there were right before the 2000 presidential election, but keep in mind there are 1.5 million more eligible adults in California to vote today than there were in October 2000. 1.5 million more. So it's an important trend that declined to state voters or unaffiliated voters have increased by 700,000. But keep in mind that our state is going through fundamental demographic change, aging of the baby boomers, which affects the voter registration rolls, large immigrant population, citizen entering citizenship, potentially voter registration. It's not happening in terms of increasing voter registration as our state grows. And this, of course, raises questions about the future of our democracy, not just the future of the Democratic and Republican parties. So you would hope to see a situation where there would be growth in registered voters that would be matching the growth in eligible adults. But that's not happening, and I think that's something, a question to raise for both the Democratic and the Republican Party, because those decline to state voters are making choices on their own. They're not being reached out to.
Yeah. How do you see, Dan Weintraub, the sort of overall level of interest? When Arnold Schwarzenegger was elected, there was a big bump in not only voter participation, but even the number of people who watched debates, televised debates, were actually a ratings winner for a period of time. Have we now drifted back away from that? Do you see a declining appetite among people generally for the political process?
I think we did reach a peak in 2003. I don't think we've declined all the way back down to where we were just a year before that, when Gray Davis was elected to his second term on a very paltry voter turnout. But I do think nationally and to some extent in California, what's happening is as the parties shed these independent voters we're talking about, they become more pure. And as the parties become more pure, their leadership starts speaking to the choir, preaching to the choir. And so the language that they use and the issues that they talk about and the buttons that they push appeal only to those people who are pure believers. true believers, and then that further alienates everybody else. Some of this is deliberate on the part of the party leadership and the political consultants because it makes their job easier to sort of control the electorate or know which electorate they're dealing with. When you get these wild cards in there, the political consultants, you know, they don't know who's going to vote, and it drives them crazy.
So is that the danger in what our caller, previous caller Frederick from Napa, was saying, that he wanted the Democratic Party to be firmer and harder about what it is? But it's that precise thing that could drive people away from participation?
Yeah, I don't know if you call it a danger. He might like that. I mean, I don't really think that it's for non-Democrats to tell the Democrats, you know, how to run their party. If they want to whittle it down to, you know, 25 or 30% of the electorate in California, and the Republicans do the same thing, that's up to them. They become, at some point, sort of private associations of people who communicate like-minded views and then urge each other who to vote for.
Well,
the unfortunate thing, I think, is that they continue to maintain this grip on the policy apparatus of government and on elections. I don't think the parties should be written into the law and into the election process. I think they should just be private groups that communicate with one another, like the PTA or the League of Women Voters, and then the elections should be run separately from them.
Well, Art, and then Duff on those points.
Yeah, well we're not going to turn into the Elks Club or the Moose Lodge, for heaven's sakes. And quite frankly, you need to understand that we in the Democratic Party, I'm sure the Republicans do as well, we mail to independent households, I mean to declined estate households, especially those households where the wife or the husband may be a Democrat and there's, on the converse side, a declined estate spouse or partner in the same household. So we're not ignoring the declined estate voters at all. We're reaching out to them because we know that if, for example, in the last election in 04 presidential election, rather 06 as well, statewide election, 49% of the declined estate voters voted Democrat at the end of the day. So we're not going to ignore them, and we're not going to become private clubs because we know that the necessity for survival is to reach out to those that have been disaffected or not understood where we stand on issues. So there's going to be a consistent pattern of reaching out to them both vocally as well as by mail and other forms of communication.
But I think Dan Weintraub's point, Duff Sundheim, is Democrats and Republicans should be whatever they choose to be, but the problem becomes when they maintain a sort of stranglehold on the legislature and it becomes this great arena where there is this large partisan divide and there isn't the opportunity, because of the structural problems we've already discussed, for real across-the-aisle independent decision-making to take place.
Well, and I think that's why redistricting reform and changing the way we finance our campaigns are so important. But I want to go back to something that Mark said, because I know it's something that Art and I are very concerned about. Art talked about how we found ways to work together on important issues. And there's one issue out there that totally transcends politics that goes right to who we are as Californians. And Mark alluded to it as the fact that our population is increasing, but voter registration is going down. And not only is voter registration going down, there's a whole new group of people that have entered this state that do not feel that they're part of the entire community. If you look at those people that are eligible to register to vote today in California, that are citizens, 63% of those people are Latinos. And so unless as a society we reach out to them in terms of education, jobs, everything else, including politics, we're going to be facing a time bomb that's going to go off in this state. So, you know, it's reflected in the political numbers, but we as Californians need to make a concerted effort to reach out to these immigrants and to include them into everything that makes us Californians.
Duff Sundheim, former chair of the State Republican Party. Is anyone taking on that mission, Dan Weintraub?
Well, I think the Democrats clearly have been. I mean, they are the party of Latinos right now, and they appear to be positioned to remain that way for a while. But clearly, Latinos will be a majority in this state in another generation, and whichever party can claim the loyalty of most of them is going to prevail.
Dan Weintraub, political columnist for the Sacramento Bee, who has to leave us in just a moment. Dan, thanks for your participation in our program this morning. We're coming up on a break, but let me just mention a couple of bits of business before we do that. One is, if you'd like more information about the whole election process and registration and all the rest, you can visit our website. It's kqed.org/elections, kqed.org/elections, and you can find out more about the upcoming presidential primary, which is, of course, on February the 5th, just 18 days away. And a reminder again that the deadline, whether you choose to register as a member of a party or decline to state, the registration deadline for all is January the 22nd. We have to take a short break. For those of you who are familiar with the ways of public broadcasting, you know that this is pledge time, which means that our listeners on KQED in San Francisco and KQEI in Sacramento are going to be leaving us in just a moment for us to ask our listeners for their support. But we're going to continue our discussion as it will continue on the Sirius Satellite Network. So we want to ask our callers to stay with us, our guests as well, and we'll pick up our conversation in just a moment. This is Forum on KQED and KQEI. I'm Dave Iverson. Back to our callers now. Let's go next to a decline to state voter in Pacifica. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say that the Democrat strategy of going after decline to state is a good one. I used to be registered with the Democratic Party, but after the 2000 presidential election, I became much more concerned about the potential for partisan voter fraud, you know, if people know you're ahead of time what your party affiliation is. So I've been decline to state since then, and I appreciate the fact that I can vote in the upcoming Democratic primary. And I'm wondering, you mentioned 2000 as the time when you looked at your statistics. Maybe some of the other switch from parties to decline to state had to do with that. And from the Republican side, if they feel, well, that California is more Democrat, they may, some of them may have also had concerns about the potential for fraud.
Yeah. Thanks for the call and the observation. Our caller touched on one thing, Duff Sundheim, that I'd like you to respond to, which is it seems like you're, on the surface at least, it would seem like you're limiting your possibilities by not allowing decline to state voters to participate in the upcoming presidential primary on the Republican side, so that those voters, if they want to participate, automatically will vote in the Democratic. What's the thinking behind that?
Well, I agree with that assessment, and I think we should allow them to vote in our presidential primary. Just to be clear, though, we do allow them to vote in every other election. The reason that it was done this way is that we choose our delegates, unlike the Democrats, we choose our delegates by congressional district. So, for example, there are as many delegates that will come out of Barbara Lee's district as there will out of David Dreyer's district. So the concern was that in that type of environment, we would have declined to states who constitute a majority of the voters, more than Republicans, deciding who were going to be the delegates to our national convention. I think it was a mistake to do it this way, but that is why it is done that way.
Sandra in San Francisco is our next participant in our conversation this morning. Sandra, you're on.
Oh, I wanted to say that in terms of one reason that people, a lot of people perhaps are no longer participating in the electoral process. I mean, in addition to the money problems and the redistricting problem, is the issue of the fact that when people do turn out in massive numbers and make a clear statement, nothing happens because, and I think that the solution is not going to come about very soon, but if we switch to a parliamentary system, that would fix the problem of people voting one way and not being able to have any effect on what's happening. It's very clear how people felt about the war and a few other things that we could mention, but their feeling and the clear vote that they sent had no effect at the national level because Congress and also the state is in some sort of gridlock, which would not exist to the same extent if there were a parliamentary system. That was my comment.
Sandra, thanks. Thanks for the call and
for
the observation.
I'd like to respond to that.
Yeah, Art Torres, former state senator and Democratic Party chair. Yeah.
There's just so much you can do in the Congress on the war. Nancy Pelosi has been courageous, as has our U.S. senators, Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer. But if you don't have the votes to override a veto, which you need in both the House and the Senate, we can never deal with the issue of war. And that's the frustrating part, that people many times don't recognize that it's not a matter of lack of will. It is a matter of lack of votes in the House and the Senate to override Bush's vetoes of legislation that went to his desk talking about troop withdrawals from Iraq.
Well,
Duff Sondheim, go ahead.
We've kept such a bipartisan tone here, I'm afraid to wade into these waters. But, you know, the interesting thing is that Congress did have over 40 votes. They knew going in that they faced a veto on each of those votes. During the summer, before it appeared that the surge was working, Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid knew that a deal could be had with the Republicans, but they decided that they could gain more by running up these votes and losing rather than reaching an agreement with the Republicans. So they clearly could have gotten the two-thirds votes in the House and the Senate last summer, but they made the political calculation that they could gain more by keeping pushing this issue from a hard-edge perspective. They thought in the end they would get both the political points and by the fall the policy victory, and they just happened to be wrong because the surge ended up working much better than most people expected.
Well, I'm going to pull us away from Iraq, if I might, because okay. We just have a moment left, and I want to get a last quick comment from the study's author, Mark Baldessari, about your best sense of where this may drive us. If we're going to wake up, I guess, a couple elections hence, how crucial will the role of independents then become in the shape of California politics? And just a brief thought on that, please, Mark.
Well, first of all, the independents are crucial today, and they're going to be crucial on February 5th. Whether the Democrats or the Republicans allow independents to vote in the primaries doesn't matter. The candidates have to speak to them for the general election. And with continued growth of the independents, they're going to have a powerful influence in the general elections in California and what statewide officials we elect.
We'll have to hold it there. Sorry for the keeping you to that short response at the end. But Mark Baldessari, president of the Public Policy Institute of California, thanks very much for being part of our program this morning, along with Art Torres, the chair of the Democratic Party here in our state, and Duff Sondheim, the former Republican Party chair. Thanks all very much. And to Dan Weintraub as well, the political columnist at the Sacramento Bee, who joined us earlier. Forum is produced by Kevin Guillory and Tina Lauerberg. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our engineers, Dave Freeman and Danny Bringer. I'm Dave Iver. And this is Forum on KQED.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Claude and Louise Rosenberg Jr. Family Foundation.